Good morning. Let's just open our Bibles to Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25 through 37. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. And they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to them, the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Let's pray. God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for just this opportunity to come to you this morning, Lord, to come as a body, God. I just pray, Lord, that we will just hear your words today, God. We just ask that your spirit will guide and direct this time and open our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear what you have to say. So, Lord, we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. And so, I'm just going to give you some background and then explain why I'm sharing on this passage, which is not something that I actually thought I would be sharing connected to my thought process that was happening this week. But just a few little points. The question asked in a Jewish expression what it takes to be saved. This is a common Jewish expression. And so Jesus affirms the scribe initially with a common Jewish response using like Deuteronomy 6:5, which teaches that one is to obey God and that is to be responsive to him. And that means letting him into our life in a way that we are compassionate to our neighbors and others around us. The parable of the Good Samaritan illustrates that very specific point that we need to be good to our neighbors. Love God, love others was a very typical Jewish response. Also, we would have seen it in Leviticus 19:18. And so when we're looking at this question, it's very Jewish. The whole response system was very Jewish. And now that may seem interesting, but actually Matthew was more of the writer who wrote to a Jewish audience. Luke, on the other hand, always was kind of looking at people who are on the outside, the oppressed. He had a longer scheme because he writes Luke and Acts, right? So he's writing Luke and Acts, and so this stream of, you know, Jesus' birth, his ministry, and the early church. And so you'll see that Luke's perspective on who his audience is a little bit different, but his thinking here is very Jewish at the very beginning. And it could have been left there, right? Jesus could have left it at love God, love yourself. He didn't even have to add in the neighbor part. That was not necessarily indicative of what he needed to say to answer this question, but Jesus adds in this little extra little bit tidbit and your neighbor as yourself, right? That actually is, I mean, yes, it's not against the Old Testament, but that wasn't exactly how the laws were written out. Who is my neighbor? Well, this question that this leader asks suggests that there are people who do not need to be regarded as neighbor. The very question, who is my neighbor, means to this Jewish person, there are people who are not neighbors. People who are not considered. Now, it's not like today where it's the person who lives next door. You know, a funny story. My next door neighbor is clear. She has some special needs, right? She's this sweet, lovely old lady who doesn't speak a word of English except for "good morning, beautiful lady," or beautiful man. You know, she always says this because she sits downstairs on a couch most days. But she happens to be my direct next door neighbor. And she's always giving weird, random things out, like toothpicks, bananas, Band-Aids. So she'll be passing these out, you know. And so in our mind, our neighbor is that person. But this is not what the Jewish leader was talking about. And when Jesus describes a neighbor, Jesus is rejecting something. He's rejecting this idea that the Samaritan isn't a neighbor. In fact, most Jews would never have associated a Samaritan as someone that would have fallen into that category. How they viewed them instead was as a traitor, someone who went against God's law. They lived in mixed marriages. They themselves may not have been in mixed marriages, but they're descendants of mixed marriages, and therefore when they married each other, their descendants continued on being mixed. And this happened when Israel fell to the Assyrians. This is when all these interracial marriages took place. Now, when I was in Israel, our guide pointed out at a point, she goes, hey, this is the area that the Samaritans live in. And I remember thinking, you mean in the past? And she's like, no, right now there are Samaritans that live here. And I remember going, the Samaritans are still alive? You know, like we see this, the Samaritans, as this parable, or the woman at the well, or these people who are on the outside during Jesus' day, but they actually still exist. They're not a huge number of people. I think I got very fascinated by that, and I started doing some research, and there's only a couple hundred, maybe a couple thousand, but we're not talking about a large population of people. But they still exist. And something else that I discovered, and I can't remember if she shared it, our tour guide, or if it's something I found when I was doing some just personal research, is that Samaritans would say that the Jews are the traitor. Samaritans believe that they're actually the pure blood, and that the Jews are the ones who mixed and didn't follow God's law. And that's how they justify themselves as in the biblical days as doing what they do. They still do sacrifices to this day. They actually still do, where the Jewish people, because they no longer have the temple, no longer offer sacrifices, Samaritans actually to this day still do animal sacrifices. And so you have these people who the Jewish see as traitors. And so even though Jesus doesn't directly say the Samaritan is the neighbor, we all know that's what Jesus is saying. Right? It's not just a matter of the Samaritan did something right. God, Jesus, is flipping something upside down here. Jesus is flipping up this concept of who is our neighbor. Who is the person that we treat with love and kindness? It's not just the people who are like us. It's not just the people who are in our family, our friends, our ethnic group. It's not even just people who are nice to us. You know, as an American, we can, you know, we joke around, but we kind of see Canada as like our little brother or our cousin, our younger cousin, right? And so today there's a little bit more tension between our two countries, but not major, right? We actually are still considered like the friendliest border in the world, right, between the two of us. And we used to be able to cross the border without passports, you know, in Michigan we could use Canadian coins at stores, and Ontario, I could use American coins at stores when we'd go across the border. So I only lived a few hours from Canada growing up. Very friendly. We're not talking about that, right? That's easy to consider our neighbor. It's the people that we don't like. It's the countries that drive us crazy or we think are being unbiblical, who are those who've attacked us or attacked our beliefs. You know, Jesus is throwing this in saying, this is our neighbor. This is who we are to love as ourselves. And that was a radical thought process that must have been going on to those who were listening. Right? In the very end, Jesus says, your neighbor is the one who showed mercy. Right? And we can categorically see who did not show mercy and who showed mercy. And therefore, Jesus is saying who the neighbor is. And he says, go and do the same. Go and do the same. Well, that means take care of that person we don't like. Wrap up their bandage. Spend time with them. He's basically showing us that mercy is not just directed to those that we like. That neighbors come in surprising places. And it's also a spiritual matter. By picking a non-neighbor as the example, Jesus, in fact, answers the original question, a neighbor can be anyone. A neighbor can be anyone. Now, we can take a look and we can see, and oftentimes we focus on all the things that the other two people didn't do. And the one thing I want to make sure we understand is that Jesus is also saying our religious duties, our work duties, shouldn't get in the way of us loving people. You know, like, I know P. Sam talks about, and pastors often talk about, Sunday morning can be one of the most difficult, like, I can't remember, several pastors have talked about how on their car rides with their wives to church, like in the States, they end up in these big fights, right, with each other. And it can be one of the hardest moments that Sunday morning as you're about to preach, you know. And I know, like, when I've preached on stage here, in the past, I can't sleep the night before. I'm not necessarily the most friendly person as I make my way to church. And I honestly don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to, like, get to my seat, be alone, and just be so focused on my duties that we forget to love those who are around us. And that can be the same for those who aren't just preaching, right? We're all ministers, you know? We hear this all the time. As we're doing God's work, whether that is at church or whether it's at work or in your home, are we forgetting to show love to those around us? Now, why did I share on this passage? Well, this week I was really reflecting on the phrase, love the sinner, not the sin. Love the sinner, not the sin. And I remember asking God, okay, so what does that mean? How does that look? What, you know, like, we hear this phrase often. How can you love someone? You know, especially in this day and age where to show love means to accept them for who they are. Right? Accept everyone for what they think, they feel. Is, you know, it's more important that they experience themselves than it is to show them God's truth. Well, not even just actually God's, any truth. Right? And you commonly see this, you know, as you're watching TV shows, these kind of phrases are more and more common. As long as you find your own true happiness, it's okay. Right? And so I was like really like wrestling with this. I'm like, okay, God, where do we see this in the Bible? Where do we see true love besides, like, Jesus' death? You know, and there's so many. So I did, you know, my good friend Google. I searched love your neighbor, love the sinner, not the sin. And you get all these verses. But as I was meditating last night, God led me to the Good Samaritan story, the parable. Right? And if you don't know, the parable is not a real story. This didn't actually happen, okay? It's just an analogy that Jesus uses. And I was like, that doesn't, what, God, how is this love the sinner, not the sin? And you have to understand the Samaritan to the Jews was the sinner. They're walking against God's commands. They're marrying other people. They were of the lowest status. Nowhere in here does Jesus say, it's okay that they went against my laws. And in fact, they give the greatest picture of love because they touched a Jew. They helped a Jew, a person that hates them, and they hate them. It's a mutual disliking of one another. The Jews don't let the Samaritans worship at the temple. They have to worship God on their own little spaces that they've created, which is also a problem with Jews because you're only supposed to do sacrifices at the temple, and here the Samaritans think they know better. And yet here, this Jewish leader, this legal person, obviously is also a sinner, right? But sinner in the context of a non-believer, a true follower concept, he's showing the best example of love. He was the one that was viewed unworthy of love. And he demonstrated love by giving him the best, by taking care of his needs, bringing him to an inn, paying for all of that. He demonstrates true mercy, compassion, and love the sinner. And so often, we don't. As believers, the ones who've been shown the most love, the most forgiveness, the most grace, we get so isolated and trapped in our own beliefs that we often forget maybe we've kind of turned into the religious leaders of the Jewish day. But we are so caught up in how, you know, God's love and mercy that we, to us, that we forget to show it to those who don't know Jesus yet. And so it really opened my eyes that God's true love to the person, the outcast, that's the love that we're supposed to be showing. You know, just a few other verses about love that I found. Matthew 5:43-48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For you love those who love you. What reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. 1 Peter 4:8-9, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And so today, I just want us to challenge ourselves. Are we the Samaritan, or are we the Jew? And remember, into both people, right, there's a high chance both of these two people saw the other person as the traitor, going against God. Are we so caught up potentially in doing God's work or service that we're not seeing the people around us as we're walking on the streets to love? Are we so into how we look in the perfection of looking good, looking healthy, that when someone comes into the church who's, you know, a little different, they have their baggage, they're just not who we want to associate with? Do we block ourselves from spending time with that person? I'm not talking about an actual dangerous person. Let me make clear that I'm not talking about someone who is actually harmful towards you. I'm talking about the people that we perceive as that we are better than, that is strange, that is weird. And I'm not just talking about people who don't wear the right clothes. I'm talking about people who've generally done some pretty horrible things in their life. But haven't we also sinned? So today I want you, as I invite the worship team, both of you, right? Yeah. As they come up, let's just really spend some time in asking God, are we truly showing love to our neighbor? Do we truly love the sinner and not the sin? Or is it just a nice, fancy way that we like to talk? Well, not even fancy, just a nice way that we like to talk to try to justify the tension in the world today. Are we genuinely loving people? I just want you to go to God and ask him. Ask him to show you if you are actually doing this. And if not, for him to show you someone today that you can show love to. Thank you. before we get into our corporate prayer, I just want you to actually put yourself into the Samaritan's feet for a second. Have you ever been treated poorly because of your sin? Because that you didn't quite belong? Would you be willing to take care of the person that hurt you? You know, and so I want you, or maybe not the person, but that people group. And this morning, if that says anything to you, I feel like God just wants a little bit of healing. Like if you've ever been hurt, if you've ever been pushed aside, right? That you've never felt, maybe in the church you didn't feel like you belong because of your past. And I feel like God really just wants to heal a part of your heart this morning. And so I'm just going to give just a moment to allow the Holy Spirit just to speak to you. So God, if there's any part of us that is hurting, Lord, dealing with unforgiveness, God, if we've ever felt like an outcast in our own church or in churches in the past, God, we just ask that you help us forgive, Lord God, and that you will just, Lord, yeah, that we can just forgive people, Lord, and that we would be willing to show love, God, even to the groups of people that have not always shown mercy and compassion towards us. And so God, we just pray, Lord, that your Spirit will just continue to make us, mold us and shape us to be image bearers of Christ, Lord. Willing to do the things that we may not want to do, God. Willing to interact with people that maybe in the past we felt less, that were less than us, God. Or God, really being the ones to show love to those who have seen us in a poor light. So God, just Lord, help us forgive. Help us to walk in freedom, God. And help us to just really be a light in this city, in our workplaces, in our homes, and in this world. In your name we pray. Let's turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery, and recovery from those things. Pray for those in our community who are suffering from various illnesses, but also need to meet Jesus and salvation. Let's just pray for both physical and spiritual healing in their lives. Pray for those who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing. Let's just pray for just built up faith in each and every one of these people. pray for those who are looking and seeking jobs. Let's pray for just that God will open doors, and that in this waiting season, they will just keep their eyes fixed on God. Mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Peace Sophia. Let's just pray for Cambodia and Grace and Oasis House, P. Jenny O. Let's just pray that God will really just be working through these women in these nations. Let's just pray that God will continue to be made known to the people that they interact with. And let's just pray that God will just give them the rest and the peace and the energy they need for today. Pray for our mission council. Let's just pray for just unity. Let's just pray for such wisdom. Let's just pray that they will just be wise with how they engage different mission organizations. And let's just pray that we can be a church that is mission-minded and outreach-focused. For our local outreach teams, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation, let's just pray that we can just really encounter God in each of these places. Let's just pray that, especially in this ministry, that we can really love like the Samaritan loved, that we can look beyond our differences, and that we can really just show God's love in such tangible, freeing ways. Pray for our SP Fam Ministry, Foster and Adoption. Let's just pray for more families to step up, and let's also pray for the babies that are in our care, that they will find their forever families, and that there will be no delays. And those who've been with us in the past and maybe in other homes, that the same will be true for them, that this the babies, the orphans in this city will just have homes. Our Friday evening gatherings, GIC, EG, SP, and SP Youth. Let's just pray that God will really just be in each of these meetings. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray for God to just really show his way. And also IP. I say, let's lift up our house churches. Let's lift up Elements, McCain, McDaddy, and McRobinson. Let's just pray that they will encounter just such an amazing time together, talking about this past weekend, fellowshipping with each other. Let's just pray that they will just continue to grow as a community, as a body, as a family. So God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are, God. We thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives and through our lives, God, Lord. We just pray that today we can really just glorify you, God, Lord, that we can really just make you known to this world, God, and then in our own hearts, God, that you will also be known, God, that we can have an intimate, deep relationship with you. Lord God, I pray that we can really just dwell in your presence today, God. Just give us eyes to see who it is you're calling us to speak to minister to, God, Lord, and to see when we are being ministered as well, too. And so, God, we just thank you and love you, Lord. We just ask that you will just show us our way today. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great day and enjoy the rest of your prayer time.